Hey, Adam, how you doing?
Excellent, Jack. How about yourself?
Haven't seen you in a while.
That's a beauty of Zoom. We see each other all the time. You know, in addition to seeing each other in person, we get even more FaceTime with each other, Jack, right?
What are they going to do? What are we going to do when they start raising prices and charging for this wonderful product?
Well, they charge right now. I mean, there's a basis of subscription that they charge, and they're still relatively affordable compared to other tools out there, Jack.
It's $100 a year, something like that.
$150, yeah. It's less than $200 a year for a basic thing that gives you up to 100 people on here and unlimited use of time. You know.
Yeah, I don't call that charging for their service. I mean, this is a superior product.
I agree. Hey, well, as we've talked a lot, Jack, I know we've mentioned on the show a number of times too. You know, when you're introducing a new product or service, try to give it away. That was Zoom's motto. I think they have that free model out there. People tried it, they liked it, and now they're buying it, right? So you get them hooked. You know, it's that the drug dealer approach we talk about, Jack. They give a little bit of it away, and they get hooked on it. And people are hooked on Zoom now. You know, so.
Well, we like to talk about improving profits. The easiest and fastest way is to increase your prices. Could you imagine another year of them with this modest price for this product, making improvements on it, and all of a sudden coming in with tripling the price? I mean, they're about to do that, I'm sure, but if they did, where are you going to go? You know, where's the competition coming from, and when will the competition be on the horizon? Probably is already. You know, there's different products out there, but Zoom seems to have it locked right now. And yeah, again, they could double, triple their price, and it probably isn't going to lose more than 10% of their customers. It'll spur competition, but there'll be a time to do that. Competition will be here anyway, of significance. Right. But it's just been a great, great product in terms of, you know, mileage on the cars, driving all the, you know, 100,000 miles. No, not 100,000. What do we drive?
25,000. Yeah, yeah, something like that, right? Yeah.
I mean, it's a lot. And this good old Cleveland winter's coming up. It's nice to be able to say, hey, I can meet you, Adam, and we can have a conference like we're starting to do now and basically stay in our nice warm house and have something to drink, and life is good, you know?
Right.
It really is.
Yeah, the technology's there. The technology's there to be adopted, and it's not as spooky or scary as maybe it was, you know, a year ago when people weren't as familiar with it or hadn't had to use it a bunch. So, as we're forced to change sometimes, those changes can be very positive if you start to embrace them in the right way. That's always a good thing.
Yeah, it is. You know, how do you? You know, there's always negativity from a worldview going on somewhere in some way. And it filters down into local stuff and interpersonal relationships. But how in the world do you stay positive through the storms that we hit, big and small? Some
right.
people weather it much better than others. And if you're running a company or you're in a serious management position in a company, how in the world do you stay positive when everybody and everything around you is kind of crumbling, but it really isn't. It seems like it might be, but it isn't. You lose a big customer, you have a fire in the hole in the back office causing big financial stuff, and you got to go through insurance and rebuilds, and you got people quitting, you got people whining, you got people doing, you know, it's people. How come I'm always saying people? That's what causes the negativity.
sucking the life out of you, and all the energy's coming off from the people. All right.
And that seems to be growing more, you know. Obviously, I've been around more decades than you, and people would, the old cliche, suck it up. And you could, as a manager, tell them to suck it up and walk away. Here, if you do that, somebody's going to get fired and probably be you, you know.
That's right. Be called into HR in terms of what you aren't doing right. And yeah, you haven't considered my feelings, right?
I see a committee of three staring down their glasses at you, and we have a complaint about you, Adam, and we're going to have to give you a warning and put you on notice. Why? Because I told somebody to suck it up.
It's funny, Jack. It's gotten to the point now where, you know, we're obviously at this stage here in late October of 2020, and you got a presidential election, you know, happening here in a few weeks, and you hear lots of feedback on Donald Trump, and about 95% of it can fit under the banner of he's mean and he's orange, right? That's usually what the complaints are, right? So the reason I'm bringing that up is because if you look at the complaints you hear back from employees, most of them can fit under the column of you hurt my feelings, right? And so I think your point, Jack, that never used to be a column, right? It was like, well, just suck it up, right? Yeah, the you hurt my feelings that didn't exist in the business world. It's almost like there's no crying in baseball, to go back to, you know, kind of league of their own.
Oh, what a
thing,
great,
right?
That's right. What a great phrase that is, yes.
So try to figure out where have things, you know, gone wrong, right? And, you know, part of the challenge is, as the owner, you don't have the luxury of being negative, of doing those kind of things, of dragging your knuckles on the ground, as you like to say, Jack. You don't have the luxury to be able to do that, because if you do that, it's going to suck everybody down in that dark black hole with you, which is not what you want to be doing.
People will follow the leader for the most part. And a big job of the leader is to be positive when there's crises all around them, when there's negativity all around them. You have to suck it up. That's such a great phrase, and it's hard to describe it any other way. You know, geez, I got all these personal problems. My wife hates me. We've been arguing. I moved out of the house or got kicked out of the house, blah, blah, blah. So I got all these personal problems. And what am I supposed to do now with my company if I'm leading my company? Do I let them spill over into real life, if you will? Because they are real life, but I have a company that I'm trying to maintain a positive environment. If I come in all negative and mopey and keep my door shut and not want to really talk to people, I got the inspiration that I supply. I don't supply a lot of stuff, but if I can't supply inspiration, what in the world am I supplying?
Right.
And when did all this start? You know, I lived through it. Baseball trophies the participation trophies seem to be the more obvious time that generations were shocked at a trophy for
participating. Yeah. Hey, I tried, Jack. Yeah. I gave it the old college try. Remember that phrase? That's been around too, right? What the hell does that mean? Right? I gave it the old college try. I'm not sure. There's a lot of things that have led to this, and I guess the topic for today, we're talking about how to stay positive, right? So how do I stay positive as an owner of a business? Because there are a number of situations, and you lay out a few of them, Jack, that can cause you to get real negative, right? You know, big customer leaving, one of your best employees leaving, a fire or some kind of damage happening to your facility or to your one of your vehicles or something like that, right? So there's a lot of bad things that happen. Oh yeah, by the way, there's pandemics that happen. Little things start to happen, right? And you as the owner, part of your job is to take all this stuff, take all these blows, these body blows, these hooks and uppercuts, and say, okay, I'm gonna stay positive. I'm gonna keep moving along, right? So how do you do that and do that well? Okay. And one of the things that's been easiest that we have seen, Jack, to help inject some positiveness and some energy into an organization is very simple. You make a choice. And the choice you have to make is, do I want to look ahead, look forward, or do I want to look backwards?
Yeah, do I want to get washed into the awful? Remember awful?
Well, the awful? No. Oh, but yeah, I did my awful. Yes. OFFAL. Yes. Yeah. Not AWFUL. Yeah. OFFAL. Yes. The awful. Yes. For those of you who are curious, you can check and see. There's probably good pictures of what awful looks like in terms of processing and different pieces and parts you get out of animals. Yes. So that's different kind of awful. So we're looking at, getting sucked into that. Yeah. If we're going backwards versus forwards, the backwards thing, again, it's getting sucked into that black hole. It sounds like, hey, the good old days. Hey, we used to do things this way. Right. And that's something I think many of us have thought, said, heard, especially these last 7 or 8 months for sure, Jack, right? Hey, once this pandemic can end, we can go back to the way things were. Right. Well, in business, things are never the way things were, Jack. Right. I mean, again, if you've been in business for 5 years, 10 years, 30 years, I mean, look back at each of the years you've been, it's different all the time. It's always different. And so, again, One of the things you can do is you can try to hold fast to what was. And fewer things in life will suck the oxygen out of the room faster than me always looking back. Telling the good old days. You know, I was watching, I'm starting to rewatch The Sopranos, Jack, which is, you know, a lot of great lessons in The Sopranos, right?
There's a backward look, but a good one.
Well, but I'm bringing it up because there's the one character, Robert Loggia. Is that how you pronounce it? Robert Loggia? If I'm pronouncing his name right or not, you know, he's an older actor. I don't know if he's even still alive, but he was a character that had been in prison for 20 years, right? And he comes out of prison. And when these guys or gangsters come out of prison, they try to, you know, get back to earning money again, right? And so how they kind of do stuff. And so one of the things that he was given was, you know, one of the card games, right? And so they're hosting these card games. You know, part of the job of the host is to have the food and, you know, create the atmosphere and the environment, right? Well, Robert Loggia's character, all he does is he's spinning yarns about all these old tales, right? That's what he you can tell just, you know, the group's trying to play cards and he's telling the story and it's just not, it's disruptive a little bit. You know, it just doesn't quite fit. And of course, Tony comes in his way and kind of, inserts himself and kind of, you know, says, hey, I'm the alpha dog here. I'm the guy in charge of stuff and kind of tries to put him in his place to a certain extent. Right. But he's the old guy talking about all the old days. And at one point, Tony just loses it on. He's like, I'm done. I don't want to hear about this anyway. All this old stories. I don't care. It's like, shut the F up. I'm done. It's like, okay. Like, okay. Right. So that was an extreme example of it. That's why I'm bringing that up, Jack, is, you know, is an example of somebody who's living in the past and it creates frustration. It sucks the life out of things. It's not the place to be. So if you as the owner are stuck in the past, you got to get out of the past. You got to start thinking ahead. You got to start thinking, where are we going? Not where we've been, where are we going?
You use the past to frame a situation. It adds perspective to a situation in your business. But that's it. You got to get off it. It's usually not the solution. It's a framing. It's a piece of input that you can add. And it's good from that standpoint, as long as it doesn't go on and on and on and you're trying to filibuster, if that still sticks around. Filibuster an old way that doesn't fit anymore.
Right. Well, you know, yeah. Another simple example, you know, our beloved Browns got their butts beat again by the Steelers this weekend, as much as we hate to have that happen again. But here what are they going to do? Are they going to dwell upon that? No, they're going to take a look at the film. They're going to say, what can we learn from what we did in the past? And we're going to now execute going forward. They're looking ahead to this week's game against the Bengals, right? So we're going to try to take some learning and do that. Okay, well, same thing's true for your company. Okay, what do we learn from those past stuff? To your point, Jack, what do I learn that I can now apply going forward? How is the history going to help me? And it comes down to what stuff can I do today that can help make that future a reality, all right? And so we're kind of beating around the bush here a little bit, Jack, but one of the things that we should be talking about is a vision. Where are we trying to go? We had a client recently talk about this, and he's more of a boater, so he used the kind of a boating analogy, talk about, you know, being, you know, a ship at sea with not sure what port he's trying to go to, right? So here I am at sea, just kind of rocking around, bouncing around in the sea, and where am I trying to go? Like, I mean, it's a great question. The picture that, just trying to vision that. Here you are, the captain of the ship, Jack.
Yeah, I don't know where I'm going.
Yeah, bouncing around the sea. It's like, well, where are we going? So, where are you trying to go?
Charts and GPS, and yeah, that's right. I don't know where I'm going.
I got all these things. Yeah, tell me where I am, right? Okay, so I know where I am. The question is, where are we trying to go? And so, where are you trying to go? What port are you shooting for? What's the goal for your business? And so we try to think about vision. You know, we talk about a 10-year vision, but even five or 10 years, think in terms of that 5 or 10-year chunks in terms of where do you want to be? Where do you see the business? Again, coming back to what can we learn from the past, like you said, but let's get it applied to the future. So wherever we are today, it doesn't matter. Wherever you are, okay, you are where you are.
Usually the process involves – here's where I think things tend to get mixed up and miscommunicated and misfocused. You know, it comes down to not so much having the plan that is real definitive, a lot of detail to it. Because what happens is you find out what you want to do by experiencing different things. And all of a sudden you stumble into something because you've been, I like to use the word engaged. You've been engaged, and all of a sudden you meet somebody and find yourself in a physical surrounding or a challenging surrounding that you never really even thought about. You're aware of it, but you weren't into it at all. And all of a sudden you discover something that you like. And that's when you can start to really put a vision together. It's stumbling around. That's, a good way to put it. Not a nice, slick process that the suits and ties like to let us believe that's the way to start it. And it's an academic pursuit. That's not how it's done. It's meeting people. It's looking at situations, putting yourself into situations, and it compounds itself. There's insurance agents. There's all these people that you know through know, like, and trust. There's so much out there that if you just visit and you do a great job of staying in touch, Adam. People like to talk to you. You're easy to talk to. And that's extremely helpful to keep in touch with opportunities, because opportunities are going to come about. You meet with somebody, you have coffee, and you're talking, and everyone's coming up to date, and all of a sudden something is said that sparks something else. And, hey, I'm going to take a look at this. Look back on your notes. You weren't necessarily planning this, but all of a sudden this seems very exciting to do. So freaking go give it a shot. And it might be a 10-year run. It might be a 20-year run. Who knows? That's how it works. And it's like good people. It's difficult to define what that is. So yes. Thinking positive is thinking opportunistic without a lot of hard fact definition. I think it goes wrong with most people.
Well, I want to make sure that we're clear with people here, Jack. We aren't saying, like, you come in and give yourself a pep talk and go, hey, I want to get positive, positive, positive. We're saying, look, here's how you start to get positive. The positivity and the excitement is a result of starting to do some of these things, right? So if we start to kind of look for, start getting those ideas, those plans in place, right? Versus wallowing in where I'm at. One of the phrases we hear a lot that's kind of common nomenclature, right, is, hey, either you're growing or you're dying. And I know I have a sense how your feelings are on this topic, but
yes, you do.
It needs to be redefined. The way I look at that, Jack, is I agree with that 100% when it talks about growing from the standpoint of between the ears here. Are you growing? Are you getting better? Are you better today than you were last week, than you were last month? Okay. So you need to be growing as an owner. You need to be getting better as the owner. Now, that might mean that your company is growing in terms of sales and profits and employees. That's great too. But you can have your company decreasing its sales, but growing because you're growing profits, or you're getting better through that process, right? So to me, the growing piece is, it's always between the ears in terms of what's kind of going on, because you're going to get better or you aren't getting better. And if you're an owner, you got to be getting better every day, every week. If you aren't getting better, guess what? Their competition around you is getting better, and you're going to be starting to fall behind. So to me, that's where the growth or you're dying kind of thing, I think that part of it makes sense to me. But the idea of just trying to grow your company for the sake of growing your company, well, again, that doesn't make any sense. What do you want to do? That's when we talk to people about their 10-year vision, Jack, we made the mistake early on of trying to instill too much of our vision for them. And we learned over the years, they're like, you know what? Hey, it's got to be their vision. But hey, and there's no right or wrong answer to this. So if you're a company doing $5 million today and you got, 42 employees, well, it doesn't mean your 10-year vision needs to be, $20 million company with 200 employees. You may say, hey, you know what? I want to get to be a $2 million company where I'm not here at all. And we're making, this kind of profit. I got 20 employees and it runs itself. What's wrong with that? That's a pretty exciting vision. I think most owners that you talk to, that the idea of having something where they could be doing what they want, because most of them still want to work, but doing what they want and making good money doing it, I think they'd be pretty happy with that, pretty excited about that, and probably would get very positive and very energized and want to work towards that. So that's what we're talking about here. We're trying to get that vision painted so you can say, hey, I'm excited about trying to make this thing happen. Because if you're excited as the owner, that will be contagious. If you're not excited about it, that will be contagious too. In a not so good way. So
is this called a mindset? Is this called a plan? Is this called an attitude? Those are descriptive words that really do apply. One isn't necessarily better than the other, but you a positive attitude, is developed through an attitude that basically puts you in that funk, you know, that you don't want to be in. So how do you create a positive attitude? How do you
good question, Jack.
Self-motivate, you know?
Well, do you believe it's a choice? Do you believe that your response to any situation is your choice? And you can respond positively or negatively to almost any situation. Do you believe that's true?
I do. I sure do.
So do I.
And when you got to feel that positivity, though. You got to feel that sort of a little outlet pass that basically allows you to get on the right track, because we all get pulled into negativity. How do some of us not fall prey to it? You know, how do you?
So let's ask the right question, because I want to tap into your attitudinal question, Jack. Because the stuff I was talking about wasn't necessarily attitudinal; it was more kind of just in terms of how to be thinking forward. But the attitudinal standpoint: what if you always ask the question, "How can this be positive? How can this be a positive for me and my business?" Whether it be, like you mentioned before, whether it be, you lost your biggest customer, or your spouse is moving out, right? Whatever it might be. Whatever, the biggest negative you can think about, right? Flip it on its head and say, well, how can this become a positive for me and my business? Because having whatever that was, I was just talking to a client earlier about this, Jack, where they had a client, and as we've talked about a lot on the show, one of our favorite ways to fire clients, Jack, is to raise prices, right? Those folks that are kind of a pain in the butt, you know? And so one of the ways you often will address stuff is, hey, address it that way and look at it from a positive standpoint. Look, if I were to lose this customer, even if it's a big customer of mine, what does that mean? How could that be positive? You know, what negatives does that customer have that they're affecting our business? Usually there's some negatives. If you flip it around and just ask that question, how can this be seen as a positive thing for our business? How is this going to benefit our business?
That's right. That'll work. Another phrase attached to that would be, what have we learned from this negative event? So, tell me what we've learned. That's a calm delivery. That's not a frantic one. It's not a judgmental one. People don't like to judge today or be judged, which is another BS kind of thing. But it fits that description. Yeah. What have we learned? And how do you now manipulate people to basically get on that track? How do you do that? Because you can only be the only positive one for so long, and all of a sudden you get sucked into it.
Right. Yeah, that contagious part, right? So, yeah, if you got one positive and you got a bunch of negatives, right? How many negatives does it take to outweigh a positive? Well, it depends on
right.
It depends how positive you are, how big your personality is, and how much you believe it. You know, at the end of the day, part of what might happen is, yeah, you might lay out a vision that you're excited about, but your team's not excited about.
Mm-hmm.
What that doesn't mean that your vision's wrong. It just maybe means your team's wrong. You know, we've had clients over the years say, "Why don't you just tell me I need to fire everybody when you guys came on board?" And I was like, "Well, that wasn't necessarily what we knew, but as you're laying out what you want to do, that became apparent. That's what has to happen. This is, you don't have the right team to make what your vision is a reality." And part of it too, and I'll include it as part of the notes here, Jack. When the show's done, but I'll include a little one pager that we give our clients to give them some guidance on this. Now, part of creating that positivity, part of that vision is trying to get a sense of what does it look like in terms of certain measurables. So again, come back to the example I gave before, wherever your sales and employee count is today, well, where do you see it, 10 years from now? And there's no right or wrong answer with that. So you have to give a few measurables to get an idea of kind of what it looks like, right? So if you're only you have one location and you want to go regional, or you want to go national or international, okay, you start to kind of get those ideas. So it's still a bit fuzzy, but you're all of a sudden starting to live in the future a little bit, and you talk about like it's happening, right? So you start to see it, and that positivity again is the result of this in terms of how you get your mindset looking ahead, because I can impact things going forward, Jack. I can't do anything about what happened in the past, other than, like you said, we can learn from it, but I can't undo it. If I said
That's
something,
right.
I can't put it back in. Once it's out, I can't put it back in, right?
So why wallow? Why wallow in it?
Right.
That's right.
So it's taking that learning and making us better. Again, come back to the idea of, am I better today than I was last week, last month, last year? Okay, if I'm learning these lessons and I'm starting to apply them, then yes, I'm getting better and I'm growing and my team's growing because we're getting better because we're learning from this stuff. But to me, it's again the positivity thing is I guess it's a combination of kind of that choice. You can choose to be, you know, to have that positive. And it's almost to the point now, I don't think I was born that way, or you were necessarily born that way, Jack, being more kind of positive. I think it's something that we've kind of learned and trained ourselves to be that way. And I've got people, to your point, come to me now because they know they'll present a situation to me, and they know without even asking that I will find a positive silver lining, whatever the situation is going to be, Jack. I can always find here's, and it's usually around, well, here's what that means going forward, right? Here's what that means going
That's
forward,
right. That's
you know,
right.
In terms of what's going on. And so you find ways to start to embrace that, you know, and you might pine for those old days a little bit, right? But it's more about, hey, here's how we're going to take this up and be able to kind of move forward.
A little bit. It's more fun to be focused on the future and lay out a plan, developing a plan. And again, see that plan start to take fruition, start to root. And okay, in my case, I like to do that. I don't like to be there sitting in the captain's chair on a boat and kind of just maintaining the steering wheel, doing nothing. You know, I like to move on to something else.
Right.
At least I have most of my life.
Whereas other people, that's their dream job, right? Hey, I'll be out there just a nice, beautiful day at sea, Jack, just cruising along. That's what they want to do. That's okay. Mm-hmm. That's, again, and that's part of kind of knowing yourself. That's where this stuff kind of comes from. You know, as we often do during our shows here, we'll talk about a lot of those seven keys, Jack, you know, whether it be directly or indirectly. But from a leadership standpoint, that's a big part of your job is to stay positive. And you can't come in, you know, well, you can do whatever you want. It's your company. We're saying in terms of if you want to have success, you can't come in dragging your knuckles on the ground. Or to your point, you were talking before about what do you bring up? And transparency is a big word these days. And we're all for transparency as it relates to the business. But if all of a sudden, you know, your kid's having some drug problems or your spouse is cheating on you, well, you know, again, we don't necessarily need to bring that up to the team, Jack, right?
Doesn't have any effect. I mean, any positive effect, because it is an all negative situation.
But you need to be thinking about that personally in terms of you. But how do you, you know, again? You have to get in there, and if nothing else, you got to fake it till you make it, Jack. Right? I mean, from that standpoint, it's incumbent upon you
fake
to be very
it till
positive.
You make it. That's good. That's a good phrase. I never heard that one.
Oh, that's okay. That's a good old phrase. Fake it till you make it. Yeah. But you know, so it's a big part of your job as a leadership to be able to kind of do that. And you know, this long-term vision is one thing, but it starts to come down to what's the plan for next year. That's our profit plan we talk about all the time, Jack, or even look at what the next 90 days looks like. And so that's where it starts to become the reality, where it has to come down to the day-to-day. What are we doing today? What are we doing today to kind of move forward? And that becomes very empowering, because you know, it's rarely, you know, as you look back in the business, it's rare that you can think about a certain day, a certain event that was that big triggering event, Jack. It's usually just, it's a bunch of little things. It's a bunch of little
That's
things
right.
that you were doing day in and day out. And I was having drinks with a buddy last night, and we were talking about this, and you know, you and I always have good discussions about, you know, things go as they age and everything else. And so he's about 15 years younger than I am, but we're both looking at, you know, our 70s and 80s and wanting to make sure that we can still move around pretty well. Right. And he said, hey, stuff we're doing today. You know, so he's up at 3:30 in the morning going to work out. Right. Okay. Well, stuff we're doing today is going to impact what happens to us 20 years from now, you know, and it doesn't mean that I win every day that, you know, that I do what, you know, but that helps to keep me moving. Cause I go around and see people in their 70s and 80s, and here they are creaking. They can barely get up out of their chair. And I'm thinking, I don't want that to be me. So, okay. So that's helped me to, hey, what can I do now?
Something to avoid it.
To kind of push through and do some stuff, you know? And so that's the thing. And so, you know, if you start having some of these fears, and many of these fears are often very irrational. You know, we've had how many discussions with clients and folks we know, Jack, about the whole living under a bridge in a cardboard box, right? And right. Start to really delve into those. You know, those, how real are those? Would that ever happen to you? Okay, well, why not? Okay, well, here's what you would do. Okay, so it's helping them kind of, okay, take whatever demons they got. Okay, let's get rid of that. Okay, now.
Yeah, get off the ledge. And, you know, life is good. Life is worth living. And pursuing things, just get yourself redirected, get the detour sign, tear it down after you drive over the bridge. And no, it's good, Adam. Life is good. And that's where you got to get yourself grounded when that's you right. get all these negatives. So,
all right.
Well, how are the Cleveland Browns going to do next week?
They're going to play.
We'll date this podcast.
That's all right.
Who are they playing? Cincinnati.
They're playing the Bengals. Yeah, we have a good client of ours who's a big Bengals fan. So we'll see how we do there. But hopefully they're going to learn. You know, I have confidence, Jack, that they're going to learn from last week. Now, will they win? I don't know, but I'm going to guess they're going to make the same mistakes this week that they made last week. We'll do something different. Hopefully something better, and hopefully it results in a W. Hopefully it results in a W, right?
Seems like it. Seems like they'll learn from the past. They seem to have that makeup for a change, not repeat the same mistakes and fight the positivity.
Right.
You got to fight it sometimes to bring it on board. So
you got to be committed to it.
A good coach can do. Yeah
you got to be committed to it as a leader because as you were mentioning earlier, Jack, people will keep kind of poking at you and they'll try to infect you with that negativity. You got to be the positive one. Because if you get sucked into negativity, forget about it. It's going to be a downward spiral almost guaranteed. It may not be immediate, but it's going to start going the wrong direction just because of that.
So, that's right. All kind of bad luck happens when you're negative. So.
Right, right. All right. So that's our show for this week about how to stay positive. We appreciate you joining us here on this week's edition of Dirty Secrets of Small Business. If you missed any of the past shows, you can get them all at our website, dirtysecretsofsmallbusiness.com, or you can check out our Facebook page. Better yet, if you have a smart device, you can go get it at Apple Podcasts or Spotify, iHeart, whatever it might be. You can go there and subscribe, and it'll be delivered to you every week when we drop a new episode. If you have comments, questions for us, you can email us at radio@maximumvp.com or give us a call, 877-849-0670. All right. That's a wrap for this week's show, Jack.
All right. Good show. Good enough.
All right, everybody, have a great week, and we'll talk with you all next week.